Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. All right, welcome back. I'm back in studio here, so you should recognize a better sound quality on the guitar and the voice. I'm glad I was able to make a few videos as I was driving across the country, but it wasn't that easy with just the phone to find a way to upload them and everything. But here I am back in the high-tech Brooklyn. So I'd like to talk about, a question from the last, actually two questions from the last post that are kind of related to each other. Jonathan Burkholz says, in general, but also specifically, when the amount of variables increases by adding more chord resolution. So the topic that we're talking about here is chains of dominant chords, such as circle of fifths, but also including, you know, different kinds of moves that we had talked about. So every chord that you're on has four different possible destinations. And so that is... as he says, amount of variables increases by adding more chord resolutions. Do you find it more helpful to think backwards from your eventual target chord, or is it more helpful to think forwards from the chord you are on, knowing that you could make any one of four moves from each landing point and then keep an eye out for a good resolution to your eventual target? I like that, keep an eye out. That's kind of, I think I kind of do that. I think much more than the other thing, much more than the calculating thing. So, such as in the rhythm changes we were talking about, starting on F sharp. And having that whole chain go down. So to calculate that you have to land on B flat there, you have to start on F sharp, right? So that's that type of like thinking ahead of where you want to land, how many chords it is, and all that stuff. Would you rather do that, or would you rather do the other thing? You could do both. But before I get into that, let me go to this other question from Linda Taylor, who says, this is because it's related. Maybe thinking of the motion is more immediate than thinking of the dominant family. For example, if I'm at A flat 7, thinking I can go down a half step, up a whole step, down a major third, or down a fourth. I think she means down a fifth or up a fourth. We'll lead to the next set of dominants. In this case, G7, B-flat 7, E7, D-flat 7. So knowing the motion may lead to more immediate recall than trying to remember this set of dominants. Okay, so let me see if I can make a video about these two questions. I'll start with the second one, actually, because I think that will lead into the first one. So Linda's saying, family of dominants, quick review. This diminished I'm playing here. This is B, D, F, A flat. This diminished creates a family of dominants, a family of dominants that are related to that diminished being B flat 7. I'm just lowering one note. D flat 7. E 7. G 7. Note that I lower becomes the root. That's why all these dominants, they sound like like dominant seventh with a flat nine if you keep the diminished sound in it. Okay, let's see if I can get this light to not be so bright in the picture there. That's okay. So then you lose my face. Well, whatever. Don't need my face. So, so anyway, that's one family of dominants, right? This is the dominant. It comes out of this is B-flat 7, D7. I'm sorry, B-flat 7, D-flat 7, E7, and G7, right? Now if I go up a half step, I have this diminished C, E-flat, G-flat, A. And I lower any note from that, I get B7, D7, F7, A-flat 7. Okay? And then the next set is a C-sharp diminished. This is a C sharp, E, G, B flat, and that creates a dominance. C7, E flat 7, G flat 7, and A 7, right? So that covers all 12. There's no more. Because once I get up another step, if I go up to here, up to D, F, A flat, B, now I'm back to where I started. Same thing. So that's all 12 dominant chords, but they could be kind of grouped into these four families. I mean, three families. Three families of four chords each. And when you're on one chord, as she said, A flat 7, well, you're in the family of chords as A flat 7, B 7, D 7, and F 7, right? Any of those chords can go to this other family, this G 7, B flat 7, E flat 7, G 7, B flat 7, D flat 7, and E 7. Those are all in another family, and that the PDF that I put on the last post sort of shows those families in groups in these little cartouche kind of shapes. I'll admit that that's a pretty technical way to think about this stuff, and I don't really think about it that much except to kind of understand it, but in playing I really think much more about the motion, and that's what both of these questions are about. So if I'm on A flat 7, where can I go? I can go to G7, B flat 7, I go to D flat 7, I go to E7, okay? That's going from one dominant to another. I could go to, those all could resolve to some other thing, like I could resolve them to minor chords, A flat 7 to D flat minor, A flat 7 to B minor, flat 7 to G minor, and A flat 7 to E minor, you know, I'm playing them melodically, but you can play them as chords as well, whatever, that's nice, A flat 7 to G E minor, so I would think much more about the motion in general in playing than trying to think about these families of chords and what are all the chords of that family and what are all my choices. It's the difference between like saying I'm in this room and there's four walls, there's four doors, I can go out any of these four doors. What's in all those rooms? What could be in them? Which one do I want? Rather than just saying I'm just going to go out that door and see where it goes and then I'm going to go out this door. And so that leads me to the other question from Jonathan Burkholz, says, well, do you like to plan ahead or do you like to just keep an eye out for where you're going? Okay, so if I planned ahead, let's say I take that eight chord progression, circle of fifths to get to B flat. Starting on F sharp 7, B 7, E 7, A 7, D 7, G 7, C 7, F 7, B flat 7. I mean B flat. This is in the context of like a rhythm changes. Very common thing that's, you know, decades, 100 years old probably. So, but what we were doing was expanding that, saying, well, you don't have to just do circle fifths moves, you could do any kind of moves. that are within that matrix that we're talking about. So you can say like F sharp, instead of going to B, you could go to F maybe. Then maybe you go to B flat. Then maybe you go from B flat to G flat. Then maybe A flat, G7, C7, B7, and that resolved to B flat. Or you could take any chords you want. You could say F sharp 7, just go up in whole steps. You can make a little loop. You could say F sharp 7 to F7 to B flat 7 to F sharp 7 to F7 to B flat 7 to F sharp 7 to F7 to B flat. You know, those are all functionally the same. Even though they don't sound the same, they're functionally doing the same thing, which is just moving through dominant pathways to get to a destination. It's worked out that if you start in the family and you have 8 chords and you work and you start in that family of F sharp, A7, C7, E flat 7, and you play 8 chords, then you will end on one of the dominants in the family of dominants that are dominant to B flat. Meaning, if I start in F sharp 7 and I play 8 chords, I'm going to end on either an F7, an A flat 7, a B7, or a D7. I'll end on one of those 4 chords. There's no other way that it can happen if I follow those movement rules. You know, whatever it is. You know, it could be, I don't even have to start on F sharp 7, I could start on A flat 7. That was a weird one. I go. Wait, why is that not working? Oh, I'm not A flat 7. Sorry, A7. I'm just going up a whole step and down a half step. I can always do that. Or I can, you know, A flat 7 again. I'm sorry, A7. Going crazy. Doing different moves. I can start on F sharp 7, I can start on A7, I can start on C7. These are all sort of gridded things, you know, this is predetermined things. So the question is, do you come up with these or do you like to just play and then figure it out? Well, both. I mean, I like to plan it out and for an exercise just to see if I do it correctly. That gives you a way to be accurate. So I could say, okay, so what did I do there? It's hard for me to remember what I do after I do it. Let's see. So I went. Something like this. F sharp. I went like that. I'll call them out as I do it. That's easier. I'll say F sharp. B, G, C, F, B flat, C, D. Resolving, you know. But this is pretty exercise based and pretty technical. Really, in reality, I might just play and then just try to get to the place. So either, you know, when the time comes, it's all about the timing. And so when the time comes to resolve it, I'm either going to be at a place where I can resolve it immediately, meaning I'll be in the sound of like, let's take it back to C. In fact, let's make a C minor just for fun. C minor. Okay, now, I'm either going to be on a sound that goes directly to C, like G7 or B-flat 7 or D-flat 7 or E7. If I'm not on those, I'm going to be at one that's one step away. So I might be on A-flat 7, B7, D7, or F7. You know, one of these kind of things, A-flat 7, could be D7. Okay, if I'm not on either of those, then there's only one other choice, which is that I could be on the one that's two steps away, like a tertiary dominant, like A7. Okay, could be C7. That wasn't so great. You know? So I might just play and then, you know, just try and resolve it no matter where I am and no matter where I start, you know. And if I have to add an extra chord or make a little weird leap, you know, that might just be what happens, you know. So let's say I'm aiming for C minor, but I'm not really thinking about where I start. I'll start on E7. 1, 2, 3, and. So what I did there is I started with dun, 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 then I was on, I had got to A flat, and I was like, well, let me stretch this out, the A flat and the G7, because I know that that'll resolve. So I went like, what did I do? I went up. That's what I did. Okay, so I said E7 to A7. To F7, to B-flat 7, to A7, to A-flat 7, and then there's really like another chord that should happen, but I just stayed on the A-flat 7 a little bit longer to make it work out. So like this, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll do it again. D-flat. Make it a little faster. 1, 2. So I'm only using these dominant chords, so it's the sound is kind of, you know, the same, and I will get into some stuff about how to make it sound a little bit hipper, you know, with some different types of sounds besides all these kind of sounds. But that's just using one sound, so you know, it's the concept of working within a limitation to kind of really squeeze the juice out of that concept. All right. Hope this sounds okay. This is my first time trying up this setup. This is a long one, 20 minutes. Okay. So I will, next time I'll sort of expand this concept in a new way. And if you have any more questions, please let me know. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading, we work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.